Exciting to have you here today because one of my favorite people and best friends is on the show. Her name is Chanel Lewis, and she just launched a website. It's called Vignettery, which she's going to tell you all about. But in the meantime, go ahead and check that out. You can find her on Instagram, and you can just go to shopvignettery.com. We talked about some fun stuff and some serious stuff. A lot of conversation around just being an artist and going through the grind and doing the hard stuff in order to get to the fun stuff. We also talk a little bit about our time together as friends. We lived together in college, and my, did we have fun. So I am excited for you to just hear a little bit about what Chanel has to say and hear a little bit of a different side of me, because you know, I was super comfortable in this interview, and it's just a little bit different than other interviews that I've done. So enjoy. Just a reminder, we are coming back for Uproar at Holy Craft, the all-female comedy show in a female-owned craft store. Yeah, it's coming back on December 12th. So please get tickets now. You could go to baberoar.com to get tickets and, support women in the arts. We all split the money equally. It's a transparent payment process, because some arts things are not, and I prefer it that way. So every dollar that you spend with Uproar will go directly back to the artists, and in equal measure. We also still have t-shirts available in crop tops and tank tops, more female headliners, yes, please, and thank you. Not directly calling out the funny bone, but like I am, so whatever. Get them on the website, they're $20, and they are super comfy and soft, and I was going to say I'm wearing mine right now, but I'm wearing a different crop top, so never mind. Anyway, enjoy this week's episode. Go to baberoar.com, get your tickets for the show. Don't miss it. If you've been meaning to get to a show for months now, please come to this one. It's a banging lineup. So, without further ado, please welcome the founder of Vignettery, Chanel Lewis.
Some recognizable brands, and also you have
such
your own
family video.
You have your own brand.
Yeah.
Those family are cool video things. In Zanesville.
Yep. It's still standing. People are still renting videos there because of the porn section. That's real.
No way.
Yes, when I worked there, I had to help people get porn. They were like, "Hey, do you have DaVinci Load?" And made me go back there and help them find it.
No, you've worked for... Like, I walk into a TJ Maxx and I can see something that
you
creative directed.
I went through the other day and I just... I went in thinking, like, I'm going to buy the stuff that I've designed that they just happen to have right now at this moment. And I picked up, like, 5 things.
Yeah.
It was cool. And the lady was like, "Wow, this is cute." And I said, "I designed it." But, like, that always happens. Yeah. And they're always like, "This is really cute." And I have it, like, waiting.
Right.
Because I'm like, I want that.
That's what happens when I wear this t-shirt, too.
That happened a bunch,
People are like, "Oh, I love that shirt." And I'm like, "It's mine. It's on my website." website.
My brand.
It's on my brand.
It feels good, right?
It does feel great.
Because it's hard sometimes to, like, feel good about the shit that you're doing because a lot of times it's behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, I don't know really how to brag about myself.
Yeah.
But I also feel like, man, I've done cool stuff in my life and I want to, like, put it out sometimes.
Yeah.
But I don't
really this is the place for it. You know,
you're right.
You can just, like, talk about yourself this whole entire time. That's the point. I mean, I do feel that way. Like, I wish that you talked about your, like, fucking sweet accomplishments more because...
Really?
Yeah.
It feels braggy, though, sometimes.
Yeah,
it's like a job interview, like, when they're like, tell me about yourself. Like, I don't know. It feels weird to be like, I did this thing. Because some people, put it way out there, and they're like, look at my Instagrammable life.
Yeah.
And it makes me, like, sick. Kind of. Like, okay, I get it.
Yeah. That is lame when, like, people are on the internet doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But when I'm just talking to someone, I like when they, like, tell me about the shit that they do.
Okay,
I like
when
they're,
me
like,
too.
A little bit braggy about themselves.
That's something I've been thinking about a lot lately because, okay, as creatives, a lot of times we, like, shit on ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the imposter syndrome thing where we're like, I'm not good enough, or like, I can't call myself an artist or whatever.
Right.
And, but then I think, like, oh, if one of my friends was telling me about this stuff that I just did, I would be like, you are fucking amazing.
Amazing
girl, like, get it. You are the boss of this world.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, why aren't we like that towards ourselves?
Yeah.
Or,
I don't know.
Why.
Well, it's hard to feel like the shit that you say matters in general. You know,
true.
Like, sometimes it's like, oh, I just, who cares what I have to say?
I feel like that every time I post on Instagram, which is a black hole of sadness for me.
So
it is the worst fucking place. I hate when people are
why do we use it?
I don't know.
I don't know.
People are always like, I love this platform. Like, the community here is amazing. And I'm like, who the fuck community are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, my family follows me and, like, my friends that I've forced to follow me, and they're kind enough angels to, like, comment on stuff. But, like, nobody else cares, and I don't care about anybody else. Like, which is probably the problem. But it feels so fake. Like,
it is.
Going on to other people's things and commenting and being like, this is really cute. Like, keep it up.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it is. It's really fake.
I'm not alone in that.
No, absolutely not. I mean, I think that it's, like, inescapable because you can't, like, get a message out these days without being on fucking social media. Because, like, but, like,
nobody leaves their houses.
But everyone's message is, like, all clouded up and, like, other shit.
Yeah.
And the first thing somebody will ask you is, like, oh, are you on Instagram? Like, you know, like, somebody asked me that today.
Yep.
Are you following me on Instagram? Like, and I was like, that's a good thing to ask because, like, I did follow that person on Instagram.
Yeah.
I was like, I'll DM you, whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, it feels, like, inescapable. Like, you can't not be doing it.
Yeah. There's no other way.
Yeah. And, like, branding on Instagram is a fucking nightmare.
It's so fake.
I
have a planning app where I look at all my shit to make sure it looks pretty before. And that is soul-sucking to me.
Yeah.
I'm like, I want it to look nice and to like, get likes and comments.
Yeah.
I have to plan it out, but I want to just post whatever I want and be, like, normal and real.
Yeah.
But, like, I posted a political thing on election day on my business one.
Yeah.
And my husband was like, should you be doing that? And I was like, you know what? If somebody doesn't like it, fuck them and they can unfollow me because I don't care.
No.
That is how I feel. And, like, yes, it's a business, but I don't care.
But it's also, like, it's you. You
know?
It's a business.
That's true.
But it's you. And, like, I think that you as a business owner are in control of, like, of how much of you is in the business.
That's the other thing, too, is, like, I always... when I, like, started planning for my business, I started thinking, like, do I want it to be, hey, like, Chanel Lewis's shop?
Yeah.
Like, this is my face.
Yeah,
or do I want it to be, like, a behind-the-scenes person and refer to everybody as, like, my team and we, when really it's just me
it's
doing
just
everything.
Me. Yeah.
But it seems more professional that way. So it's a mix. Like, half of my posts are, like, we would love for you to order from us. And then the others are, like, I'm fucking dying today.
Please talk to me.
Yeah.
No, I get that. That's how I feel, too.
It's weird.
Your shop is called Vignettery.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot to talk about that.
Yeah. That's okay.
Okay, well, I'll just run through quickly, like, my art background really quick
to
get up to this point where I'm at now. So I'm 29 now. I graduated college in 2011, where we went together.
We
lived
together.
I love you, man. Yeah. So that's how we go way back. But yeah, so I graduated college in 2011 with an art degree, and school didn't prepare me like at all for the real world. I don't know if anybody I graduated with has like an art job, and yeah. I'm not even joking.
You
like,
do.
I do, but I don't know if like anybody else in my class does. Like, yeah. It's just it was like bare bones when we graduated.
Yeah.
And they kept hammering into our heads like, you're gonna be painters and fine artists, and like that's not viable for most people.
Right.
Honestly,
right.
Yeah. Like you can't just like get by on that shit right. these days. Like no. That was a very like, I don't know, old-fashioned view.
Yeah.
And so when we all graduated, it was like, oh, well, there's entry-level positions in, like, graphic design, but you have to have, like, coding experience. And
really?
It was just tough. Yeah. And so, like, my first job was at a t-shirt shop, which yeah. was soul-sucking, and I was the only designer, which was cool, but I also had to manufacture, like, all the shirts and, like, do the embroidery, and it was, like, backbreaking work. I'm not gonna lie. It was, like, a sweatshop.
Yeah.
And, but I did it because I thought, like, okay, this will make my portfolio better. Yeah, I'm getting paid $9 an hour, and I have a college degree, but, like, this is artwork, so it's, like, worth it. And it was, like,
yeah.
worth it, kind of, but then I worked, like, a couple more jobs pretty similar to that, and it was just, like, 40% design and then, like, 60%, like, shitty work that was, like, you know, not for, like, me.
Yeah.
Like, I hated it.
Yeah.
It was just awful stuff. And I worked with, like, the worst people ever.
Yeah.
Which is, like, a whole other world.
Right.
But I just never thought I would, like, have nice coworkers. I just thought, like, everyone sucks.
Yeah.
But then I worked at a print shop in Columbus, and it was a similar situation. I was the only graphic designer, and I was doing, like, really tedious stuff in addition to some, like, brochure work and, like, envelopes, and I did, like, logos for Roosters. Like, but I thought, I was like, wow, that's, like, a name brand.
Yeah,
like, that's cool,
yeah.
and whatever. But finally, we moved to L.A., and that was just, like, because my husband's job, like, we had a chance, and we were like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
So we moved there, and at that time, I had, like, secret goals to, like, be a singer. That was, like, my whole thing. I would, like, fantasize about, like, I'm gonna be a singer someday. I was, like, 25. Like, I really thought that.
You've
like,
done it.
Well, that was... I wasn't famous or anything. Not that I, like, ever thought I'd be famous, but I always just was like, I'm gonna make a living from music. That was,
yeah.
like, my other passion.
Yeah.
But anyway, we got there, and I was, like, looking for a job for, like, 8 months, and I kept thinking, I'm not gonna look on Craigslist because that's where the shit jobs live.
Yeah.
And then, like, the day I looked on Craigslist, I got a job. But it was really a good job because it was at a stationery company, so they paid me fucking crap, okay? Like, the whole time I was there. And I worked for them for, like, 5 years. I'm still working for them freelance, actually, but... Hopefully they're not listening. But when I got that job, I remember saying to the president of the company, who actually, he was like, so you moved here with your boyfriend. What happens if you break up? And I was like, that's so fucking illegal. I can't wait to work
also,
here.
We're married.
Yeah. So I did say that. I was like, technically we're married. So it's a long story, green card and stuff, but we're married. So I want this job. But he said something like, why should I hire you? And I was like, this is my passion. Like, this is my dream job. I really want it, and I will do anything it takes. Like, I will work so hard. And he said, well, you know, hopefully I'm going to take a chance on you, and hopefully you're like a diamond in the rough. I remember him saying that. And then when I left year ago, he was like really a total dick about it. He was like, oh, you're going to move back to Ohio and go have a bunch of babies, aren't you? He was this affluent, like, shitty guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I was like, no, actually, I just want a better quality of life.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, you know, less
yeah.
crowded and
right.
whatever, no smog.
Yeah.
But he was like, he said all these really nice things about how I, like, changed the company, and I absolutely, like, elevated our brand and made such a difference in the company and all this stuff, and said that I was the diamond in the rough, and I was like, that made things feel pretty good.
That's
so,
nice.
I don't know, it was like a long 4.5 years that I spent
yeah.
there, but I got promoted, and I was in charge of, like, a lot of really high-powered stuff, and my brand was TJ Maxx, which was really cool.
Yeah.
They were our biggest brand, so So that was great, and I got to just design stuff for them all the time and meet with the buyers, and it just, I was like really, really professional there, and it was, I felt like, wow, this is an art career, and I'm like in it.
Yeah.
And now that I've moved back here, I have all these opportunities now that I never would have had if I hadn't have done that.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't save any money when we were there, when I look back on living in LA, I'm like, well, it was for, you know, getting work experience and, you know, life experiences too. Yeah. Like, living there was amazing. Yeah. We got to do all this fun stuff, you know, but we definitely, like, barely had any money when we lived there because it was so fucking expensive. But I always think about, like, the skills I gained, and now I can, like, wield them into more jobs. And, like, at this moment in time, I feel like I have all these opportunities, like, happening, and I just keep thinking, like, I never thought that would happen. Ever. I mean, I'm 29 now, so it's taken a while, but I'm at this point now where I'm like, oh, freelance clients are coming to me, and they're, like, big names, and they, like, want me to do stuff for them, and it's cool.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm interviewing for some, like, cool jobs, like, you know, because I'm sick of working from home because I'm lonely. But they're big names, too, and I feel like, you know, oh, my God, I can actually make some money.
Names.
Yeah. So that's awesome. Cool. But I, after that last job that I had, I was able to use everything I learned there to make my own line of stationery gifts.
Yum.
So it's all really, like, fun, girly stuff. Lots of, like, middle fingers and pink stuff. And I mean, when it came to that, I had this vision of, like, a really elevated, beautiful, expensive brand, but it ended up being more like, what can I actually afford to make?
Right.
So it's not as, like, expensive and fancy as I would have liked.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to see it at Paper Source probably, or, like, you know, some fancy boutique, but, you know, it's really fun and I love it. It's like, you'd see it at, like, Bando maybe. It's like more of a place where you would see it.
Yeah. I think those middle fingers would be great at Bando.
Yeah.
Well, also, like, those middle fingers are so cute and, like, you made them in two colors, like, very intentionally. Yeah. And
I can make more colors.
Like, yeah, I feel like that's really cool.
Thanks. I'm trying to be as inclusive as possible with my little tiny offering of stuff. I have two middle finger colors of enamel pins as well.
Right.
Which I would love to do even more colors, like, even deeper brown and, like, maybe, like, a tan color, but I only have so much money, so I did what I thought could cover the most people.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
On round one. So.
Right, on round one.
There's a peach color and a chocolate color.
There you go.
Yeah, I have art prints and enamel pins and cocktail towels instead of tea towels, because who drinks tea? They say nasty stuff. And what else? Oh, and keychains,
Yeah. And vignettery.com.
Yeah. Oh, actually, it's shop vignettery.
Shop vignettery.
Someone else had the vignettery thing.
Really?
Which it's spelled V-I-G-N-E-T-T-E-R-I-E. It's made up.
Yeah.
I made it up.
Yeah.
But someone else had it, and I was like, okay, I'm going to track this bitch down. So I did that. I, like, literally sleuthed the internet and found her, and I, like, messaged her on LinkedIn, and I was like, hey, do you have this domain name? Can I buy it from you? And she said, no.
Oh,
she was like, I'm going to use it.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. It expires next year,
so maybe
I'll be buying it. Yeah.
Good for you. Oh, man.
Thanks.
How does it feel to, like, run your own business?
Well, right now, it feels great. Like, after I launched, I felt like, oh my God, such an outpouring of love from all my friends and, like, everybody, you know, strangers that are buying this stuff. It's really cool. Like, I don't want to put out, like, any delusions. Like, it's not, like, making $1 million a year or anything.
Yeah.
I get, like, a couple orders a week right now. I just launched, but that part of it feels really good. Like, when I get an order from a stranger, even, I'll be like, I don't know how they found me, but cool. Oh my God, they bought one thing, but that's cool. And, you know, like, being able to, like, print the labels and put them on my packaging, that all my pink bubble mailers, and, like, send them out feels really good.
Those. Thanks.
But then there's, like, a crushing scariness of, like, how do I sustain this thing? And, like, what happens if it gets bigger? And do I want it to go bigger?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, sometimes I think about keeping it small and just, like, keeping it manageable by just me.
Right.
But I want to do wholesale too, which is where you sell your stuff for half price to shops so that they can make a profit on it.
Yeah.
But you're still making more than, you know, you would have selling, like, because they buy bigger quantities. Like,
right.
But I want to do that, but that requires like a ton of work too, because you're filling like these bulk orders.
Yeah.
You know, you're like seeking out shops to sell your stuff. You have to go to trade shows, and all of that seems like a really huge undertaking. And I just don't know if I want to do all that.
Yeah.
Like, I would rather just send a couple things to some shops that I really like, be like, hey, you want to wholesale with me?
Right.
And then just do that. And not be like, I don't know, relying on this for like all of my main income. That is scary.
So
I like the idea of still having a day job, which I am freelancing right now, but possibly looking for like a full-time thing. Just, I miss an office setting, honestly.
Do
like
you really?
Yes.
Wow.
I loved working in an office.
Did you really?
But I loved everybody that I worked with at my last job.
Yeah.
And now I just see my pets all day by myself, which sounds cool, but after like a year, you're like, I feel like I've forgotten how to converse with people. And I'm not lying. Like, I met two of my friends earlier and they were like, what's wrong with you? I was like, I haven't talked to human beings in a while.
I am in an office setting and I don't talk to anyone.
It must depend though on like who you're with, because if people suck.
Yeah, I don't want to.
You don't want to spend your week with them.
I don't dislike going into my. I don't dread going into my office.
Good, that's the thing.
But I work with mostly like dudes, like white dudes, like older white dudes.
And see, they seem like my demographic that I can easily connect with.
Oh, they're
somehow.
So,
it's just so easy for me to talk to them.
They're like rural white dudes.
Well, I wouldn't probably enjoy it, but I feel like I could.
They like talk about their tractors. That's what
happens. I could get on board with that. I'm from there.
You're from,
I'm from Hicksville.
That's true. You live on a farm.
I really do. But I hear
just
you.
For now.
Those aren't probably my top choice of coworkers.
Right? I mean, they talk about football a lot.
Boo.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Yeah. It's pretty boring. And sports. Like basketball. They talk about basketball. They talk about bullshit. Yeah, they're just annoying.
Okay, well, at my last job, we just talked about art the whole time. And like,
I
saw this at stores this weekend.
Yeah.
And like, oh, did you see this trend is rising?
I mean, that is really
fun.
I would love coworkers that I love. The last few offices that I've worked in, though, I've been feeling like I just don't want to make friends with people that I work with, because I've done that, and then like the office environment got really
toxic. It can bite you in the ass.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about that a lot, because at my last job, some of my best friends I worked with, we became like very, very, very close, but then there's like a whole line, like you are their boss. Like I was promoted to be some of my best friend's boss.
Yeah.
I handled it well, but it can be really hard to draw that line sometimes and be like, hey, I need you to get this done.
Now.
Like, but you're my friend and I love you. Like, it's weird. I don't know.
Oh my God.
So like, I didn't fuck that up, but we'll see. I don't know.
Well,
so I keep thinking about like, if I get another job in an office setting, I don't know if I want to necessarily like do that again.
Yeah.
Just because I'm older and more mature now, and I feel like I want to be more like choosy about who I decide to go out with. Like, I had a very bad experience with that. My boss was, she won't listen to this, so I don't care, but she was like really controlling and would force her employees to go out with her all the time. And if you said no or didn't, she would be like, what's your excuse? Why aren't you coming? Like, come help me move, or like, come get fucked up with me.
What?
It was crazy. And like, it was everybody on our whole team. So it wasn't like just one person or anything, but it had to like go to HR. And then she was like, not allowed to go out with anybody anymore.
Oh,
cause it got to the point where she was like, mean to you during the week if you didn't like go out with her. And she was like a crazy drunk that would like get fucked and then like cry the whole night and be like, why doesn't anyone like me? She did coke in front of me one time.
What?
I'm not kidding. She was like, come to my birthday. And I was like, I really don't want to. And then I went because I didn't want to have a shitty week the next week.
Yeah.
And she was like, I just did coke in that porta potty. Like, I gotta get out of here.
That is truly horrible.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I would be that person, because I'm so stubborn. I would be that person.
Coke in the porta potty?
No. I would be that person who was like, no.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going.
That's
I'm so
strength.
Stubborn. I'm
for
just
you.
No, I would be that person, and then my boss would hate me, and then I'd probably get fired. Like, that's who I am as a person.
Might have been worth it, though.
Because, like, I didn't want to go to her fucking birthday party.
I want to be more of that person, though. I feel like in the moment,
good.
I always say yes to stuff.
Yeah.
And then later, I'm always like, why did I say yes?
Yeah.
I want to stay home.
Yeah. I had a boss that said the N-word in the office. I think I probably told you this. Did I?
I don't know. I feel like that would be a memorable experience.
It was years ago. It was like 5 or 6 years ago at this point. But she said the N-word in the office. And I reported it to HR because I was like, this is fucked up. She was white. I was like, this is fucked up and not cool. And I reported it to HR. And like 3 weeks later, I was put on a performance improvement plan.
What?
Yeah. And like, she didn't like me anyway. And I was like going through some shit. So I was like a bad employee kind of, which like part of me can see like a reason for her putting me on a performance improvement plan. But I don't think she would have if it was, if the HR thing didn't happen. Because I had, like, made my goal 2 years in a row. Like, it wasn't...
Yeah.
I was, like, doing...
Weird timing.
I was still doing well. I just wasn't, like... I wasn't being, like, a great team player. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I can see it.
Put your heart into the job.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
But it was also a soulless job. So it's just, like...
What do I expect?
Who cares? But anyway, yeah. Like, that office specifically, I, like, made a lot of friends. And I still talk to some of them. And I like them. And, like, I wish the best for them. But it was a toxic culture. Like, at a certain point, everyone was just talking shit about everyone else.
Oh,
and then they would, like, get together
mean.
Afterwards.
It
and
feels
like,
shitty.
Yeah, and then, like, people were promoted over other people.
Yeah.
And then they got attitudes about it.
Oh,
and it was like, oh,
yeah, that's exactly,
it was so gross.
It doesn't feel
so
good. I feel like after college, some of our mutual friends, like, I started realizing, man, some of the people that I hang out with are just assholes.
Yeah.
And I thought... Why do I keep, like, hanging out with them?
Yeah.
They're literally fucking mean to me.
Right.
Or, like, they talk shit about everyone.
Yeah.
And it is awful.
Yeah.
And it took me a while to realize that. But, man, when you're around people like that.
Yeah.
And, or in an environment where that happens.
Right.
It just, it makes you kind of a shittier person.
Yeah.
It makes you feel shitty.
Yeah.
Get away.
I know. It takes a lot of, like, you have to, like, really be in your, like, self-assuredness to do that, though.
Yeah.
Which can be tough. Because there was a long time when I wasn't. And, like, I got married to a person that I didn't want to be married to. Like, that's the kind of shit that I did when I, like, wasn't in
myself.
But
you weren't, like, look from the outside looking in. It's hard to take that step back and, like, look at your life from, like, outside of your bubble.
I know. It is really hard. It's I was thinking about it this morning. I was like, I was just in a daze. Like, I was in a fog.
Yeah.
I didn't even make decisions for myself. I just, like, went along. Like,
yeah.
I just felt like I was being, like, strangled. Like, I was a giant balloon in the Thanksgiving Day parade.
Yeah.
Like, being, like, just, like, strung along
by
thousands of people. Like,
balloon were you?
I was a giant...
Which character?
I don't know. Like, probably, like a Winnie the Pooh, maybe?
I was gonna say Garfield.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, Garfield.
Just, like, napping.
Garfield.
Okay.
Yeah.
Winnie the Pooh is really sweet, though.
Like, I was just a big, huge bummer. But, like, you have to be, like, so strong within yourself to, like, do the things that you want to do.
You're right.
And not the things that are just, like, go along to get along kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's also kind of a burden, I think, when you're like that, when you're feeling like you really are in yourself, then everything becomes, like, a deliberate choice. And you have to be, like, you have to, like, follow your values, like, and shit. It's just...
That's hard.
Isn't that...
It's so much easier to just be like, yes, I'll marry you.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, recently, I don't know if you ever experienced anything like this, but recently I was recruited for a job in the, like, higher ed textbook industry, which I used to work in.
Mm-hmm.
And it was soulless because it's like you're taking money from students, literally,
cool.
who are going broke to get their education. Like, that's how you're getting your paycheck, and it's shitty.
Yikes.
And I was, like, thinking about taking the job because I was seeing dollar signs. I was just like, it's so much more money. Like, it's so crazy. Like, I'll be making double what I make now.
Yeah.
And I, like, started in the interview process, and then I had to email the recruiter and be like, I can't do this.
What?
Because I was like,
good for you.
I was like, I can't do it. But, like, I had to eat shit.
But, like, a year later, you might be like, man, I fucking hate my life
exactly.
right now. Why did I say yes to this?
Exactly.
You had foresight, and I think that's so important.
But it's hard. It's so hard because you have to, like, fall on your sword, and you have to, like, make hard decisions
yep.
and say hard things.
Yeah.
I don't know how we started talking about this.
I don't either, but you're right.
I know. It's fucked.
You said, I don't know if this has ever happened to you.
In
like a professional sense. I feel like there have been times where I really feel guilty about my industry because a lot of time, like at my last job, everything we made was in China.
Yeah.
Okay. And that really got to me because, for instance, here's a great little tidbit. We would get these, we made boxes, like paper boxes, like those book boxes that you see at Hobby Lobby and stuff. And every time we'd get the samples in, we'd all like gag from the smell. We'd all be like, oh, the boxes are here, because we would have to like check them to make sure they were like looked good and everything. But the glue was so strong that it would give everybody in the office a headache, and we'd all be like joking about like, oh, those fucking boxes. And then I started thinking like, man, people are putting these together in factories by hand, okay?
Yeah.
And this was like a regular occurrence. It wasn't just that one product.
Yeah.
It was constant. Stuff would come in and I'd be like, a person placed every gem on this gift bag.
Yeah.
A person put all the glitter on this gift bag or this card or cut this out by hand. And
yeah.
I know this because that is what they do.
Yeah.
Like, this is all by hand.
Yeah.
And a lot of the stuff isn't really done by machines. Some of it is, definitely, like, some of it, but I don't know. And then I would start worrying about, like, how much are these people getting paid? Like, this card costs, like, 18 cents to make. Like, how much is
yeah.
the factory even paying their people? Like, it all just started to really get to me, and I started worrying about, like, are we gonna get notes in our stuff being like, help me, I'm in a horrible factory and stuff? But like, my company said that they like checked every factory that we used, and they were all vetted and stuff, and they did tours like every year and made sure everything was like safe and up to par. But everything just got
true?
To me. Yeah, I know that they went
okay.
there and that they were vetted and stuff, but like, still, we would still like skim pennies off. We'd
yeah.
be like, hey, we want this for 10 cents cheaper,
right,
and they would
right,
be
right.
like, yes, anything.
Yeah.
We just want to sell stuff.
Yeah.
Like, anything.
We just want jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were, like, the nicest, sweetest people, too. Like, every time we'd email them and be like, hey, there's, like, a problem with this sample, they would be like, we are so ashamed of our mistake. It was heartbreaking.
Oh, my fuck.
Yeah.
Jesus.
And that stuff really crushes me, so that's why I decided everything I make is going to be USA made.
Yeah, there you go.
And that's, like, the
really
only
like
reason.
That. Yeah.
It's way more expensive here,
yeah.
and you can't produce, like, 90% of the stuff you want to make
right
here.
I remember you said that there's
but,
like stuff you want to do that you can't.
Yeah,
it's too expensive.
And if I wanted to do it in China, I could, because it's so cheap. You have to buy huge quantities, like,
yeah,
you'd have to buy like 2,000 of something
yeah.
to like make it worth your while, but it would also cost like nothing compared to making something here.
Wow.
But I don't know, those tariffs are really fucking everybody up.
Yeah,
they actually, at my old job, they told people that they can't ask for raises because of the tariffs, so
yeah,
that's not okay.
Yeah. Oh my God. That is shitty.
Mm-hmm. But that's every manufacturer.
That's everything.
That's
yeah.
not just the stationery and gift industry. Everything is
well,
like that.
It's like, it really fucks me up too. Like, thinking about money has been fucking me up a lot. Like, where every dollar goes that I spend.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, your company had to pay them money
yep.
to pay their employees
yeah.
to work and do that work. And then, like, a consumer pays you, like, way more than you pay them.
Oh, everything you buy is, like,
marked up insane.
Whoa. It's probably gonna cost, like, maybe a quarter of what you're paying.
Yeah. Jesus.
I mean, I could give you examples, but then it would make me look bad. Nobody would buy my shit.
That's
I'll
okay.
come up with a fake example.
You don't have to.
Let's just say a card,
okay.
a greeting card,
okay.
costs 25 cents to make.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's like,
you're gonna
got
sell
glitter.
It for $4.25.
It's gonna, yeah, you're gonna sell it for like $4, $5.
Wow.
But like, the person that's making it wants to sell it to a wholesaler for half the
right.
retail cost, which
right.
if you're selling it for $4, you'd sell it for $2.
Yeah.
So you're making, you know, $1.75 on it if you sell it to a wholesaler.
Yeah.
So that's,
wow.
but yeah, that's how like everything is. It's, when I realized that, I was like, everything is so marked up. I'm wasting all my money.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Money is everything, and it really is really, really, it's hard
yeah.
to think about.
When you know the true, like, monetary value of something.
Yeah.
Compared to how much it retails for,
yeah.
it makes you sick to your
yes.
stomach.
But then also thinking about how little people are paid to make those
yeah.
things, especially when they're, like,
mm-hmm.
made in China.
Yep.
Like, I wonder how much their hourly wage is. You know?
I don't know.
Probably
if they have one. I feel like they, one of my old co-workers told me that they live in dorms at some of our factories. Oh, and I was like, that's slave labor.
Okay. Yeah. That is really depressing.
I'm not going to share this interview because all my friends from there are going to listen to this and be like, stop talking shit about us. But they know. They know.
They know. Yeah, I mean,
we're
they
all
know.
Part of, like, an industry. Yeah. Like, anybody who works in any fucking industry exactly. is probably, like, you know.
Yeah.
Doing some shit they don't feel good about.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And you living your life in a way that makes you feel good isn't profitable and isn't easy.
So you gotta be on the outside of your bubble, always thinking about your values and how to be a better, decent human.
It's hard.
It's really hard. We can only be so good.
You know, that's why white men just have such a good time in life. Because they don't take the time. Sometimes
I think some are trying now.
Some are trying.
And I really appreciate that.
You're right. I
want them to give a shit, and the ones that are giving a shit, thank you guys.
They do. Some of them give a shit, and I really appreciate that.
But now that I'm my own boss, I'm like, I'm very lonely. So lonely.
I just want one person.
But I'm such an extrovert. Like, if maybe if I were more introverted, I'd probably be way more into it. Because, like, you're just sitting in quiet, and you're, like, able to do your stuff and, like, hang out with your pets. Like, those are all good things. But I just need people to talk to.
Yeah. I feel it.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about your family? Any fucked up stuff? Ghost stories?
No, they're really, like, cool and nice.
Yeah, you get a lot of
I feel like I don't have anything exciting or weird or anything to say about
them. Remember that time I was dared to send your brother a dirty text message?
On St. Patrick's Day?
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's really right. Crazy. What did you say?
I don't remember. It was really gross, though.
Oh my god. Wasn't he there? Yeah, he was there.
No, he showed up after.
Oh my god.
And he was like,
well, I got drunk and screamed at my brothers that night for not voting. And then they were like, we did vote. And I was like, you're liars! It was a regretful time. So.
Oh my god. Okay, who in Columbus have you run across that you want to meet?
Okay, I always want to meet Jenny Brittenbauer.
Okay.
She's like, I follow her on Instagram, I watch all of her stories, and I just always hope that I'm going to run into her one day. She's in like the rat pack, okay, of like stationary people and creatives. I am so jealous of her life. She's just so cool. I love everything she says. She's got like such a powerful female vibe coming off of her.
Yeah.
I wanted to say female stench, but then I thought that was going to be really gross sounding. Like an aroma.
Yeah. Just like just a pussy
girl
smell.
Power.
Everywhere she goes.
Is that what girl power smells like?
A pussy.
Just
pussies. Well, it smells like Coca-Cola.
Yeah. Oh my god, that's right. Yeah, that's what Lana said. But I always just hope that I'm gonna like run into her one day and be like, I worship the ground you walk upon. Please be my business mentor and my friend.
Yeah.
And I love your outfits and your whole vibe and everything you do. And she's so successful.
She is really successful.
When they opened a Jenny's on like in my neighborhood in LA, I was like, she has fucking made it.
Yeah.
And I made all my friends go. I was like, you guys, she's from Columbus. That is where I'm from. You have to go here. It's so
good. Did they like it?
They didn't even go.
Fuck them.
They left. They went after I left, but they were like, yeah, we'll go. That's how LA people are. They're like, yes, we'll do it. And then they never do. Because nobody ever leaves their neighborhood. Because it's too much traffic.
Well, fair.
But I was like, go there on your roller skates. It'll be fun. Yeah. They probably have by now, and they're like, oh, that's what she was talking about. Yeah, I love it.
The sweet potato and marshmallow one is out right now.
I'm not going to lie. I've never tried any except for the one I get every time.
Oh, my god. Which one do you get?
I always get salty caramel.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's so good.
The salty caramel with the pistachio. Is it pistachio? Pistachio honey. Mm. Best. Oh.
See, I would never even attempt that. Oh, I'm such a, like, if I go to a restaurant and I get one awesome thing, I get it every single time.
Yeah, okay.
Every time.
Well, I think that that's the secret of, like, every restaurant.
You maybe have to get the you want to crave that thing.
You have to get the thing that you know you like.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, and you don't like the thing, it ruins the restaurant
yeah,
for you.
Then you never want to go back. Or food poisoning. That's happened.
That's true. Yes.
Have you ever actually had food poisoning?
I have, yeah.
I never, once. I thought I had.
Yeah.
Until a couple years ago, we went to a Mexican place on our street in LA, and it was, we woke up in the middle of the night, both my husband and I, and we were like, something's wrong. Something's so wrong. And we have one bathroom.
Yeah.
Okay, I won't go into extreme detail, but like, we couldn't even walk our dog. We couldn't get out of bed without thinking we were both gonna pass out. And we both had gotten the same thing at the restaurant, of course, that we got every time we went there.
Yeah.
So we could never eat it again.
Oh, gross.
And then, so I, what is that thing called, Postmates, where you like order stuff and people bring it to your door?
Yeah.
Well, I had to Postmates from like a grocery store, Pepto-Bismol, Gatorade, butt wipes. It was a horrible time.
That sounds nauseating.
Oh my god. It was one of the worst experiences.
I had food poisoning once when I was living with my ex in an apartment that had one bathroom also. And we had Bang Bang shrimp from fucking Bonefish Grill.
Oh.
And it was delicious.
Oh, my
God. It is so good.
So I would have it down.
I would have it again. It didn't ruin it for me, honestly.
Oh, good.
Swear to God. Also, I once threw up my grandma's pizza, and, like, it did not ruin it for me. I don't know. I'm a freak of nature. But anyway, we got food poisoning. It was the same situation. We, like, could not leave our apartment.
No, you can't move.
We had one bathroom. It was sick shit. We were, like, double trouble, like, coming out of both ends.
Yeah,
like, just
same.
The whole thing.
You just have to stand in the shower, and you if just, someone else is on the toilet.
Yeah.
This got graphic real quick. But, like, you think you've had food poisoning, you call into work, you're like, I have food poisoning, I don't feel good. No.
No.
That's not it.
No.
You have an upset stomach, bitch.
Oh my
it's
god.
Not that.
It's not. I. Griffin does not like hearing about my bodily functions. We don't talk about our bodily functions.
Really? How do you get around that?
I just don't do it. I just decided when
that's a really
when we started
move.
Living together.
Yeah.
We're not gonna talk about it.
I think that's a really good way to keep things sexy. I told Gareth to stop coming into the bathroom if I'm peeing. I was like, just don't.
Don't.
Because, like, I don't care if you see it, but it's also, like, it's not that sexy.
It's not good.
Like, just don't.
I don't want to see that.
Yeah.
I told Griffin, close door. I don't want to see it.
Yep.
You don't want to see it.
No.
We're done here.
Yeah.
That's the end of this conversation.
Yeah.
Done.
We are done.
Don't
with that as well.
Don't.
We'll not talk about any more of that.
No, we don't do it. We just don't.
This is a clean podcast,
that
guys.
That has never happened in any of my relationships. But I feel like
yeah,
it's a
I know. I've seen you go into the bathroom with someone, like hang out in there.
Yeah.
I was like, whatever. They're probably bored. I get it. Like. Some people take a book.
Some people take a bud.
Yeah.
Put that on a t-shirt.
Each their own.
No, that should be on like a cute like gold foil print in a bathroom. Take a bud. On the toilet at the bottom.
Oh my god.
Adorable. Oh my god. What a nightmare.
Yep.
Oh, God. Okay, wait. Okay, so Jenny Brittenbauer, I don't know how we got here.
Oh, yeah.
So Jenny is one of them that you want to meet in Columbus.
I'd love to meet her someday. Well, I've been not here for a long time, so I don't even know who else is around, really. I mean, there are a lot of stationary people out there that I look up to, and, you know,
from
just
where?
Designers. No swimmer from LA. But, I mean, that's just where a lot of the brands are.
Yeah.
But, and I've met some of them, some of my idols, just from, like, going to talks and stuff. Like, I've met Jen Godge, and I met the Sugar Paper Girls, Jamie and Chelsea, and I'd love to meet Joy Cho someday.
Yeah.
They're all just really inspiring ladies that are out there making stuff that I love and just inspiring me to keep doing it. And, I mean, I don't think I'll ever be those guys. I mean, you never know. If I really tried, maybe, but had a lot of money. But just seeing ladies out there doing their thing and being creative business owners, it's so inspiring.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's just, it keeps me going. And I listen to some podcasts too. Like, one main one that I listen to is Trade Show Bootcamp, which I actually attended that.
Okay.
And it's, they just help you be like a better stationary business owner or product-based business owner.
Mm-hmm.
And like, they helped me figure out if I wanted to do trade shows. It's a lot about like trade shows and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But every week they have a different really cool creative business owner come on and talk about their struggles or like things that they wish they knew or like advice they have. And I lived for that thing, man. Like, that was part of the reason I even thought, hey, I can do my own thing. Yeah. Because I was listening to that all the time and I felt like super empowered.
Yeah.
And that sort of inspired me to do it. I don't know.
Good for you.
And then I was just like, yeah, fuck this. I'm out of here. I don't need a boss. I'm my own boss. And, I mean, I was right. I did it. Yeah. And I was, I mean, from just the hats that you have to wear being a product-based business owner, you have to not only, like, have a little bit of money to start out, but you have to use that money really wisely. You have to wear all the hats of, like, oh, I have to design my own website. I have to take my own product photography. I have to be my own social media person. Right. I have to manufacture all this stuff and be my own product development person. Then I have to check all those samples and make sure they're right and do quality control. Then I have to figure out the packaging and design all of that and source it. Then you can start worrying about, like, where my platforms are going to be. Like, is it a website? Is it Etsy? Who are my retailers? Who are my customers? Like, there are so many things like to think about. Taxes, sales tax.
Oh my God.
There were so many business licenses I had to go through. It is crazy.
I'm dead inside just hearing you say that.
Yeah, all those things are the not fun part. The only fun part is, like, selling stuff and getting to design cool things and be like, I made that.
Yeah. My friend Sarah, who you met today with the weavings, she has a podcast called Scrap Paper, and she has, like, Columbus creative business owners on.
Cool.
The podcast, and they talk about owning businesses. We recorded an episode, but I don't know if she's going to release it.
No.
Because it was about, like, being a comedian, and I was like, I've made money, but it's, I'm not a business owner. Like, I'm not shit. I'm not shit.
I think that's how we all feel, though, no matter where you're at.
Yeah.
We all feel like we're not shit.
Yeah. Well, I had my first professional gig last year, and it went terribly.
Oh,
so
that was a good story.
It's a good story.
Have you talked about it on your podcast at all?
I don't think so.
Do you want to? Because it's so funny. Or, like, a summary of it, even.
I mean, I performed graphic lesbian sex jokes for a room full of Republicans in the Ohio State House. And it went just about as well as you'd think.
I really expected it to go great, and I remember texting you the next day and being like, how'd your show go? Yeah. And you were like, it was the fucking worst. Everybody's got a bomb sometime.
700 people.
Did you get any laughs or anything? Or were people just like, oh!
Somebody came up to us after. I brought an opener, and she's so funny. Like, I love her. I love what I write. Like, whatever. Yeah. I'm fucking funny.
Yeah.
Somebody came up to us who looked like Jeremy Jam after the show, and he was like, you girls should be ashamed. These girls deserve better than that.
My God, that's a really mean insult.
And they,
like,
tried,
that's pretty fucking mean.
It was pretty mean.
That's, like, the meanest thing you could think of.
It was really bad. It was bad. But they tried not to pay me the full rate because they, like, contested it or something. And I messaged her via the, like, platform that she contacted me on, and I was like, hey, I had no idea what this room was going to be like. Like, I asked you what kind of content and if there were any restrictions, and you said no.
Yeah, that's her fault.
Did you watch my video? Like, this is what... It's on... Like, I have videos.
Yeah.
You could have watched me, and you didn't. So she ended up paying me all of
it. Yeah, that was totally their fault.
Yeah.
Know your crowd, guys.
Yeah. I was like, I'm here. Like, I did my part.
Yeah, you did your job.
I did my job.
And if it was the right crowd, you would have got a lot of laughs.
Yeah, that's right. I would have fun. I did have fun anyway. I mean, like, I am glad that I did it.
You totally did not seem fazed at all by that.
I truly wasn't.
No.
I still, to this day, I'm just like, even talking about that guy being like, you guys should be ashamed. Like, these girls deserve better. It was almost like it felt like a smack in the face to, like, all the haters. Like, me being on stage and getting no laughs just felt like, it was fun. There was something fun about it. I felt like I was subverting something. I felt like I was really being...
You were probably upsetting them in a way, too.
I'm certain I was. In the workplace of John Kasich,
oh my God.
I told abortion jokes. It was great. I loved it. It was fun.
Bravo.
Yeah. So you gotta fail.
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes you fail, sometimes you don't.
I'm trying to think of some fails I had. I don't think I've had any.
haven't failed ever.
I've never met anyone who doesn't like me. That's a real
nobody
quote.
Nobody tells me. No. You should put that on a t-shirt.
I put that on my Instagram.
Anything. Nobody tells me no. Yeah,
I said that in high school, and I meant it. We were on a senior trip, and some people were being like, "We're not gonna stop at this place," and I was like, "Nobody tells me no," because I was like, "This is my vacation. Who are you to tell me no?"
You're not gonna tell
and
me
I have
no.
felt the same way ever since that day. Nobody tells me no, and they don't.
They don't.
Nobody
even,
does.
Even if they do,
I tell them no right back.
Tell them no right back.
That's true.
That's inspiring.